Hi everyone, it's Eliza D, host of the podcast How to Save the Planet. On How to Save the Planet, I interview people whose professions and passions have to do with climate change. Today I'm talking to Erin. Here's a little bit about Erin. Erin has over 30 years in real estate construction, development, and real estate finance. He's an experienced fund manager, real estate developer, and curator of corporate culture and mindfulness development. Erin is a returned Peace Corps volunteer from Gabon, Africa, where he built schools and homes for teachers, and he holds an executive MBA from the University of Washington. He was a two-term board member of the Washington Environmental Council and the Masters Builders Association, and currently serves as a board member of Inhabit. Now, please enjoy my conversation with Erin. Hello and welcome, Erin, to How to Save the Planet.
Thank you. I'm excited to have this conversation.
Me too. What do you do and where do you work?
Well, I am the CEO of a company called Green Canopy. And what Green Canopy does is, sometimes best illustrated through kind of the mission of the organization. And the mission is, Green Canopy builds homes, businesses, and relationships that help regenerate communities and environments. And how Green Canopy does that is by working with owners of property, investors in real estate, developers, that are all pretty much, and not entirely, but for the most part, looking to do or build deep green real estate projects that are residential, mainly real estate. So apartments, condos, townhouses, row houses, and some detached single family homes. That if they want to do that deep green, they come to us. If they want to have a design or a design firm design their project, we have also a design firm inside Green Canopy. And then we are also general contractors. So we'll build it, we'll design it, get it entitled. And then we also manage real estate investment funds. So those real estate funds, we work with lots of investors, and sometimes owners of property or other developers need additional capital brought to their projects, whether that's in the form of debt, equity, the combination of the two, or some subsidized funding sources. So we're a deep green, full service real estate solutions provider, kind of across the platform of real estate or ecosystem of real estate. We work in many areas. Yeah, I hope that was helpful.
That was great. Thank you. That sounds like your company is super revolutionary and needed in this day and age.
Well, we like to think so, for sure. Thank
you. What degrees do you have, and where did you go to school?
Well, I went to, I like to think I've been kind of in the school of hard knocks my entire life, meaning, which is to say, I feel like I'm always learning, learning as we're out there, making good decisions. And sometimes you make decisions and things don't turn out the way you want them to, and it kind of feels like you get hit, with, oh, I shouldn't have done that, and then you learn and you keep going forward. But in a traditional sense, I took pretty atypical pathway. I laugh because I have gone to the three major state schools in Washington State, Washington State University. I started there, and then I transferred to Western Washington University and graduated from there with a degree in cultural anthropology. And then And then, yeah, I went to Africa in the Peace Corps for 2.5 years, which was an extended education for sure. Learned a lot about, navigating in a multicultural, very diverse, foreign environment, building schools and teachers' houses. So learning, project management, program management. I ended up running that program for my last year in Africa, and learning how to do that in a culture and a language that was entirely foreign to me. And then came back and I got a graduate degree, back to the classical sense of education, got a graduate degree as a master's of business administration. And I went through the executive EMBA program at the University of Washington. So I wrapped up my formal or classic education there, but I continue to learn as we fall forward into the future and things go well, and sometimes things don't. And so you adjust, you learn. You probably learn more from when the markets change like COVID than you do when things are just going kind of straight. And well, it never goes straight for long. That's one thing I've learned.
Cool. Why did you start Green Canopy?
Well, I started Green Canopy because I really wanted to align my skill set, which was in banking and building, with my values. I went into the Peace Corps. I have a strong orientation towards, social justice and helping others. And that includes the planet, So there's a lot, all of these things are interconnected, but I've never been one that's over oriented on kind of the trappings of wealth. And I wanted to actually start a company that would make money work for positive change, but also have to make money, because then you get this self-generating model that can keep going and scale. And as you scale, you can scale your positive impact in the world. And you also can make investors money that then continue to feed into the impact that you're trying to create in the world. And I thought I could, carve out a career for myself by taking those things that I knew how to do, banking and construction, and align them towards trying to make the world a better place, and doing that in a for-profit manner. It's very important to me. And ultimately, we want to generate really, really strong rates of returns to our investor base in the company, and certainly at the project level. Yeah.
Why did you decide to call it Green Canopy?
Well, that's a funny story. We started as G2B Ventures. G as in green, 2 as in the number, but meaning 2, B as in blue, ventures, G2B Ventures, green to blue, knowing that that is going to be a placeholder name. but when we were ready to come up with a new name, we came up and we had a really strong marketing talented individual that helped us found the company. Her name's Sonia Gustafson. Take us through a branding exercise, and we came up with the name Revive Homes. And we talked to the attorneys to see if we could get it trademarked, and they said, no, that's not a very good name if you want to protect it. If you don't want to protect the name and you're not interested in that as a brand that you want to live in the world, then it's fine. But if you want to protect that name and it just as a user using name, then that's not good. So we said, okay, gosh darn it. And we went back to the drawing board, went through another branding exercise, and we came up with the name Thrive Real Estate. Thrive. And went back to the attorneys, and they basically said, did you not hear us? For all the same reasons that you can't protect Revive, you cannot protect Thrive. So you need to go back to the drawing board. That was a year and 6 months each exercise was long. So we told the Sonia and Sam, co-founder here at Green Canopy, and I, we huddled up and said, okay, we're going to do this fast. We can't continue to spend this time. Let's just come up with a name. So Sonia, come up with a list of names. And so Sonia did. And when she shared them with Sam and I was, it was the last meeting of the day before I was to go on vacation. And on the list was Canopy. I don't even know what else was on the list there. I can't tell you, obviously. But on the list was Canopy. And boy, I loved it. It just was kind of, you know, the notion of a forest canopy and a house as canopy. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't landing. And I was talking about this, as you do, with my partner, spouse, and best friend, Susan. And we were on a run, and we're running, and I'm telling her about this name Canopy. There's something I just love about it, and but I can't put it. And she said, "Stupid." And I said, "What?" And we're running. Excuse me. She said, "Stupid." And she's giving me a bad time. I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "Green Canopy, Aaron, Green Canopy." And I was like, "Are you kidding me? That's it." And on the run, we were like, so we stopped right there and looked up to see if we could get the name, greencanopy.com. Well, guess what? It was available.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. And we thought, oh, for all the reasons of Canopy, and then green does so much heavy lifting because people know what that typically means in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. You don't have to explain or overly explain your branding. So we fell in love with it. And but socialized it, obviously everybody had to weigh in and agree. And we all loved the name, and the attorneys did too. So it kind of all worked out. Sorry for the belabored story.
No, that was great. I feel like the best ideas always come when you're running or exercising or outside.
Isn't that the truth? Hey, and it was all three of them. We were exercising while running outside on a trail. I mean, and I couldn't agree more. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Some of the best moments of inspiration have happened on a Pacific Northwest trail somewhere.
Yeah. What got you interested in this work that you do?
Well, we kind of already talked about that, but I started swinging hammers in 1988, kind of back in the Stone Ages, and I started in that industry as a job because a friend of mine's big brother needed somebody to to move lumber around, the clean up his site, and you know, do that sort of stuff. I started as a general laborer, as many young men did at the time, and maybe still do, I don't know. But I got into it because it was something that I knew I had an affinity for. I knew a little bit about construction. I actually had my first exposure to construction and building in 1985. But with that little bit of experience, I thought, and I was always running around building forts and stuff as a kid. So I thought, yeah, this would be fun. And I got into it. And fortunately I got into, more than just a job. I got into a really cool relationship with the guy who ran his one man home building company called Nason Creek Construction Company. There's a Nason Creek on Eastern Washington named it after that creek. But what he did is he would build a home, live in it for 2 years so he could get capital gains tax treatment, which is more favorable tax treatment when he sells. Then he'd sell it, and then he'd go buy another piece of land and build a new house. And you know, before long he was doing that without debt. And then he went in and started building apartment buildings. This is after he and I had parted ways, but he and his wife were really cool. You know, they kind of, in some ways, I felt like I was taken under their wing. I got to learn all about construction, but, you know, kind of an inch deep and a mile wide sort of thing. Because we would what's called self-perform. We would do a lot of the individual trades. We'd, you know, drill the holes for wire and pull the wire ourselves, bring it to a box, and then have an electrician just come connect it all. We'd frame the whole house on our own. We'd do the roofing, the sheathing, you know, kind of all of it. You know, certain parts of the insulation we'd do, and we would do remodel jobs together in between. Of course, we'd do insulation there, but on the whole house stuff, we'd sub out some of the work. But I got to see and experience a lot of the construction site, and I loved that. And then when I went into the Peace Corps, with bricks that you build the structure with, and then just wood for the, you know, roofs and roof trusses and that sort of thing, corrugated metal, simple structures, but really kind of deepened my sense of satisfaction for the industry and love for it, and understanding for, you know, how things get built. I mean, let's you know, be really clear, housing is an inalienable right.
Yeah.
It's a noble profession in my estimation as a result. And I'm blessed and humbled to be part of it. And it captured my imagination. I had an entry point with good people. I used it as a manner in which to see and experience greater part of the world. And then I came back, and my father learned about banking and structured finance, and, you know, how we underwrite product, look at product, you know, loans and assets, and how do you stack capital? What are the balance sheets of banks and individual builders and, you know, individuals look like, and how does all of that come together to drive real estate? And what I learned was capital and investment capital drives the world of real estate. That is what gets built, when it gets built, and how it gets built is by the desire of capital. And then the building of it, not to be overshadowed, is truly a service providing function to the capital base. So all of building is just in the service of.
Yes, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, all of building and construction is just a service industry to drive rates of return for investors. And capital, I learned that. And, you know, brought those things together, this understanding of finance and a love of construction and building together in Green Canopy. So that's why, you know, we do it, and why we do it in the way we do it. And what really keeps me going is that mission, and that we really truly are trying to transform the paradigm, so that we're not just building in service to rates of return, but we're building in service to communities. We're building in service to lowering our footprint on, or trying to corral our footprint on the face of the planet, and to create greater equity for those that are disproportionately suffering due to issues of climate, due to issues of resource scarcity, and also due to kind of old vestiges of racist structures that still permeate through, especially our real estate ecosystem. Yeah. There's a lot there. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that was awesome. Thank you so much. You kind of touched on this a little bit, but could you maybe talk a bit more on how climate justice impacts you and your work? Or like what it means to you?
Yeah, that interesting. So climate justice, I think climate justice is maybe the tip of an iceberg, and in that it is indicative, meaningful, real, and indicative of a much larger problem that resides beneath the surface of many of society's awareness and understanding. I think that when we talk about justice or climate justice, in some manner, it could be perceived to be an appropriation of justice, social justice, dog whistles to benefit a climate change or environmentalist imperative. So I want to call that out. It isn't in, I think, a pure form or in a thoughtful form. It certainly is not, because there are communities that have been disproportionately marginalized as a result of all of our environmental issues, starting with, you know, Flint, not starting with, but as Flint is an example of, and rivers that catch on fire because of, and where do those rivers flow through in our cities and the poorest of neighborhoods? They're the ones that are impacted. I think there's truly an understanding and importance around the awareness of environmental justice, where we degrade the environment. And it's those that are the most marginalized that are more deeply impacted as a result of those environment, as a result of the toxicity, environmental degradation, climate as well. So if we think about where climate change is impacting the globe, most harmfully, it is in areas of greater poverty that don't have access to the same freedom of mobility, that are in hotter, more less climate resilient geographies, and that isn't that what comes from that is injustice or a piling on of injustice. And I think that those injustices layer into this large iceberg that's right now we're hearing more about the term climate justice as a clarion call to action. And I think it can be, but it also can be a misappropriated. And I think if we expand the scope of justice to include all sorts of forms of justice, climate being a wedge of the pie, that makes sense to me. But I think injustice within our society is embedded into the fabric of our regulatory system and yes. System laws and perspectives, and there's a lot of work to be done there, and climate makes that work in some ways more important.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So I hope that was, I think that climate justice is important, but I think most important is just justice for those that have been underserved, underrepresented. And, you know, that's part of what I'm excited about in the work that we do is, you know, how do we think about helping regenerate communities? And I can tell you that I don't have the answers, but through the work that I get to do, I get to be in conversation with people that do. And it's those communities that are being disproportionately impacted as a result of the injustices of the system layered on with our environmental challenges, climate and otherwise. It's those communities that I get to learn from through the work that I do. And every time I learn something, it's just an opportunity for me to kind of lower my own awareness, deepen my own awareness, and more of an opportunity to step off whatever soapbox I'm given in that particular moment and work with people like yourself and lift up voices like yourself to a degree far greater than mine. And that very, I think, important work is something I'm blessed to do in my day-to-day, which is try and lift up other people and their ideas and thoughts around what's best for their community and themselves, perhaps. And be aware that what has served us in the past may not be what needs to serve us in the future. And certainly a lot of it needs to be left behind. And new ideas and new things need to come to bear, which is what's so exciting about what you're doing, Eliza, as a young person on the face of the planet. You're taking your agency very seriously. And you understand that you actually can also help transform the world. So when I was introduced to you as a potential conversationalist with you, I was so honored and excited that to think that I could have a part on your journey and hopefully we can help elevate your voice through Green Canopy or whatever. I'm excited about this as an example of the work that I get to do, which is be in conversation with people that are truly trailblazing and communities that are truly trailblazing and empowering themselves. And how do I think about helping communities regenerate and empower as we, you know, are all falling forward into the future? Doing it together, you know, is what's really exciting to me. And being part of that through this work is just, you know, I just feel grateful every day. Yeah.
Thank you. That was great. What's one thing that people can do to make their homes greener? I'm sure that you have so many answers to that question, but maybe just like a few things for homeowners that they can chew on and think about.
Well, you know, there are the things that we do that make ourselves feel better from our own sense of purpose. And I think that's important for people to continue to do that, which is, you know, conserve as you can, recycle where it makes sense. These are cost-effective measures that you can do within your home to align more to a purpose that you hold. I think structurally within your home, you know, what are the things that you can do to improve your home? There are ways and things that you can do at your home level that can improve your home, which, you know, can be added insulation. It can be starting with an energy audit. Just pay a few hundred dollars and have a third-party energy auditor come tell you, do an energy profile audit of your home. That's really cool, super informative, low cost, and you learn a lot. And I would just say, you know, start there if you want to improve your home. if you want to help improve the system structurally through what you're doing at your home, so see, I've taken it in three different levels.
Yeah.
Individually, you can conserve and recycle and, you know, put in LED light bulbs. I mean, at the asset level, get an energy audit and learn what you can do at the home structural level to improve the energy efficiency and the environmental indoor air quality of your home. But if you want to use your home as a force for good in the world of real estate, which is a structured world of real estate, there's a system there. Look at how you can go about certifying your property as a third party to build in our area. That would be in Seattle, built green certified REMOP. So as you're updating or weatherizing or looking to remodel your home, if you certify it third party green when your home sells, now it will impact the broader market, because real estate agents, banks, and other developers use your home sale as a comparable for their next transaction or their next building project. And they will be more compelled to make it built green certified the more built green certified homes are in the market than fewer built green certified homes in the market. So there is a real way that you can change and help transform the market. There's a real way that you can help change and transform your utility bills or just your indoor air quality. And then there's a real practical way where you can align to your own purpose, sense of purpose in the world, by thinking about conservation measures and recycling measures that you personally can undertake within your home.
Wow, that was a great answer.
Thank you.
Yeah. What advice would you give to people going into to the green real estate field?
Well, the first advice, if you're interested in getting into the world of green real estate or green real estate development, reach out and send me an email or go to our website and go online and talk to us, because we can certainly help navigate, help individuals that want to get into the world of real estate navigate and find the most logical, cost-effective, deepest green pathway into that conversation that is for you. Maybe people don't want to go as far as green as they possibly can because they want to find a balance between how much it costs and how far they can afford to go. And again, that's all the work that we can help you with, and figure that out and find that right balance. And sometimes is in as fast a conversation as an hour, we can certainly help folks gain greater clarity. On a practical level, green real estate really does start at home. And going back to your last question, if you're interested in what you can do with your existing home and how you can have an impact that is both personal at the familial level and then at the market level, think about the home that you live in and how you can position that into a market for good, and have it align to your financial goals as well. You can go and find real estate agents that are qualified or have an awareness of green, or just look at their websites and see which ones are really excited about the importance of green infrastructure and real estate. And you can do the same by going to architects and finding your pathway through. Again, Green Canopy as an organization is designed to help folks find their pathway into the world of green real estate or more regenerative real estate, or communities too that are trying to unlock community development initiatives. We're designed to help with that. So there's kind of many different ways, and to not sound overly self-promotional, which I think I just went beyond. There were lots of different ways to do it, starting with, you know, from real estate agents to architects, and go straight to the Built Green website. There's lots of information you can find there. If you're in Portland, Earth Advantage is an amazing also organization with, I know the individuals at both places, just wonderful, very sincere and smart people. So there's some ideas for you.
That's great. Thank you so much. And I can put a way for listeners to contact you in the episode description.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Well, that's all the questions that I have for today. Thank you so much, Aaron, for coming on House of a Planet. I really appreciate you talking with me and taking the time to do this.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it too. And I'll just say, Eliza, we talked in a previous conversation, I think it was last week, and I asked you if you were going to continue doing this. And it sounded like you were, it sounded like you had an orientation. And I just want to encourage you and thank you so much for having these conversations and producing them in the world. And I think it's, you are an agent of change, and I think you know that. And I'm just really honored again to be part of your journey and your own personal story. And I just want to encourage you to keep doing what you can and having these conversations and thinking deeply and broadly about these topics.
Thank you. That means a lot. That's very kind.
Oh, well, that's nice. It was wonderful talking with you.
You too. Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to subscribe to How to Save the Planet so you don't miss any new episodes. See you next time.